The views and opinions expressed on the Bounder BB Show by the guests and callers are not necessarily those of the Bounder BB Show, this station, its management, or advertisers. The Bounder BB Show is for entertainment and enjoyment and is not intended to give advice, treat, diagnose, and or claim any cure of disease or condition. Find more information at BounderBBShow.com.
The Bounder BB Show, a new kind of talk show for the 21st century, spanning the globe. Visit BounderBBShow.com and change your life.
Thank you for staying with us through the break. Thank you for joining me for my guest. My next guest is Gary Zukav. We are celebrating the 25th anniversary of his book, The Seat of the Soul. Gary, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Valder. It's a joy to be here.
It's my joy. I want to just read some of the great comments about your book. Oprah Winfrey said, you know, it's one of the most powerful books I've ever read except for the Bible. That should make you shudder. And Jay-Z says, there are two books that I absolutely live my life by, and Seat of the Soul is one of them. What great accolades, Gary.
It is. I'm just so delighted.
Tell me, 25 years, have we evolved? Have we caught up with the Seat of the Soul? Because when I read Seat of the Soul a long time ago, it doesn't seem like 25 years, it was so ahead of my thinking. My mind could not wrap itself around that. Have we evolved to Seat of the Soul? Have we caught up with it?
Oh, so many people are evolving so fast now, Valder. We're in a time of enormous transformation and one that's never happened before. Millions of people are beginning to have a broader or a deeper perception than their five senses can provide. And they're beginning to sense themselves as more than minds and bodies. And the world is more than meaningful. And the universe is more than dead. They're beginning to experience themselves as souls and their lives as meaningful and the universe as alive. And this has just begun. Just begun. So when you say, in 25 years, have we evolved? Oh, yes, clearly. But this transformation is taking place over three generations, which is very fast. That's the transformation into expanded perception. But that expanded perception brings a new potential. And that potential is authentic power. Authentic power. And that's the alignment of the personality with the soul. And that requires choice. And there's millions of people that are beginning to be aware, some of them very clearly and some just beginning, that their lives are meaningful, that they have gifts to give, and that the pain that they feel in their lives is not meaningless. It shows them parts of their personality that they need to explore and heal in order to move beyond the control of those parts of their personality, such as anger and jealousy and resentment and vengefulness. Because you have a role to play. Everyone has a role to play. It's a global, it's a universal role, and at the same time, it is as intimate as any experience can be. It's you awakening in your life and bringing consciousness into it and making the choices in your life that will support the evolution of your soul, the maturation of your personality, and the evolution of our human family, all at the same time. This is the new territory that we're in.
When you have this conscious awakening, I think I know the answer. How do you maintain the use of it? Because the personalities, for me, I'll use me, it wants to go back to who it used to be sometime in certain situations.
That's right. Well, that's an excellent question. You maintain your higher energy, your impersonal perspective, the loving perspective, through your choices. For example, when I get in a power struggle with anyone, with Linda, for example, my spiritual partner, I have to remember that this is a time for me to challenge the part of myself that wants to make her wrong. It needs to be right. Because that's not a part of my personality that I want to control me. I love her and I want to listen to her. And the same thing with all of the people in my life. Jealous of some or resentful of some. It's in those moments that I need to experience, and I intend to experience, what those emotions feel like. They're painful, and not act on them. In that same moment, to choose to act instead from the most loving, wholesome part of my personality that I can. And that's how you create authentic power. So that's how you maintain and cultivate and strengthen the loving parts of your personality. That's how you put yourself in a position to give the gifts that you were born to give. And that's when joy begins to enter into your life.
When you say authentic, it is, and you've answered a challenge I'm having with my spiritual partner. You helped me right there by saying that. I want to be right, and I know that, and I am right, but I want to be right.
Yes, it's a part of your personality that feels that way, and it's not a problem that you're having with your spiritual partner. It is an opportunity you're having to look inside yourself at what your spiritual partner is activating in you. Most people think that their pain and their joy comes from outside of themselves. But when they realize, as we're beginning to realize, that external circumstances activate either your pain or your joy, and it's up to you to go inside and to challenge those dynamics that are creating pain, and to cultivate those dynamics that are creating joy. In other words, it's not the world outside. Creating authentic power is becoming the authority in your own life. It's becoming independent of the external world. Things still happen. There are objective circumstances, but your emotional reactions to them do not have to be painful. And when they are, that's an opportunity for you to challenge what inside you is creating pain, not someone outside of you that you're blaming for your pain. They're bringing you opportunities to grow spiritually.
Now that your book has had a birthday, it's 25 years old, is your dream for the book the same, or does it change over 25 years?
Oh, Valder, I never had a dream for the book. I have a vision deep in my heart of what is happening in our world. We're in new evolutionary territory. We're evolving in a new way. We're no longer limited to the five senses and evolving by surviving, and surviving by pursuing external power, manipulation and control. We're becoming aware in different, we're becoming multi-sensory, and we are evolving by growing spiritually, and we are growing spiritually by creating authentic power. And that's happening. It's happening in me. It's happening in you. It's happening in millions of us. But don't think that the world's going to change overnight or that you are going to change overnight. Creating authentic power is not that easy. But it's our new evolutionary path. And it leads us places to more rewards and more joy and more fulfillment than we could have imagined.
Is our shift to authentic power more challenging when we are the way we used to be? I was reading about you also, like me, had power issues, I will call them, anger, jealousy, rage, all those things, those human emotions. So is it harder when you have those to try to shift to authentic power? Or perhaps if you're like the Dalai Lama, it seems like he's always had those emotions under observation and under control. And so his authentic power transition seems to be smoother than yours and mine. Is that a correct observation?
Well, I've thought about that a lot. And I think that perhaps the people that we think and admire, like the Dalai Lama, or like anyone you know, who's always a loving presence, almost always a loving presence, we think, well, they're more, maybe they don't experience the things that I do. But perhaps that's not it at all, Valder. Perhaps these people experience what we do, and even more acutely or sensitively. But they have more ability to choose responsibly. They have more ability not to act on them, but to act with love instead. So that no matter what they're feeling, they are giving love rather than acting in fear. You know, the new, the 25th anniversary edition of The Seed of the Soul is different from the old in this way. It has an 85-page study guide that I wrote for it, and it's in the back of the book. And it takes you through each chapter so that you can apply the principles in the book to your own life in practical, concrete, and grounded ways. And then each of these study guide chapters also has links to an online study guide extension. And that has videos and audios that I recorded. There's 17 videos and 16 audio meditations. And all of them will help you to understand the evolution that we're going through, what authentic power is, how to create it, and how to bring it into your life and experiment with it, how to move toward your own fulfillment and your own joy. That's what I'm so excited about. This new anniversary edition of The Seed of the Soul is not just a re-release of a classic book. It is a new, dynamic, interactive tool that allows everyone who reads it or is interested in it to begin to experiment with what's in it, not to take it as true or not to be simply inspired by it, but to experiment with it, to bring it into their lives and see what it produces. That's what's exciting to me. And you can find all of these things on our website, seatofthesoul.com. S-E-A-T, like what you sit on, of the S-O-U-L.com. And I love being able to share these things.
Well, I love that you shared with us, Gary Zukav. I'm rereading the book, and I'm giving away a few copies to my listeners. So if they go to ValderBBShow.com, click on Email Valder, and put in Gary Zukav, and that's Z-U-K-A-V, I will know what book you're talking about, and we're giving away a few copies. Gary, I want to thank you so much for gracing my show and being the energy of my day. Thank you very much.
Oh, you are welcome, Valder. It's a joy to talk with you again.
I look forward to seeing you in Dallas. I hope you come back to Unity. I'll come and see you.
I will.
Thank you.
Looking for a job? Well, all for free, you can mix and mingle with DFW executives, entrepreneurs, and businesses, all for free, at the Metro City Billboards Product Launch and Job Fair. When? On Wednesday, January the 29th. What time? From 4 to 6 p.m. Location? Southwest Center Mall, 3662 West Camp Wisdom Road in Dallas. Metro City Billboards is launching a new grassroots job initiative by digital billboards across the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Metro City Billboards will explain the launch of a new billboard network and billboard TV. Just show up January the 29th at the Southwest Center Mall. You can email info@businessintheblack.com. That's info@businessintheblack.com. Carla Hall is a co-host of ABC's The Chew, and she's going to join us in the KKVI studio to talk about her new cookbook, Comfort Foods.
Hi, Valder BB.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You inspire people, which is huge. Well, this book, Carla's Comfort Foods, I mean, I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. I'm African-American, and when I say comfort food, people naturally think smothered pork chops or chicken, collard greens, macaroni and cheese, and that is my comfort food. But what I wanted to do with this cookbook was kind of broaden the idea of comfort food and show that every culture has its comfort food. And I also wanted to show that if I think about chicken with milk gravy in the South, that if I take the milk out and I add sour cream and paprika, I could be in Hungary. If I take the milk out and I add tomatoes, habanero peppers, and a banana, I could be in West Africa. Or if I take the milk out and I add heavy cream, Dijon mustard, tarragon, and white wine, I could be in France. Celebrates people, but also celebrating their differences. I hope people find it easy and comforting and a challenge in that, just to get to know other cultures.
Are you considering buying a new home or buying the right size home? Now that the kids are grown up and no longer living at home, with over 20 years of experience in the DFW Metroplex, By God's Grace Realty would be honored to be a part of your new home team. Hi, I'm Valder Beebe. and my husband James and I purchased our dream home through By God's Grace Realty. Our kids are adults, and we have the perfect size house for our new lifestyle. It was easy, and By God's Grace Realty was there every step of the way. Whether buying or selling, the Jackson team is ready to go to work for you. For a free consultation, call Pat, 972-739-5244, 972-739-5244, or visit bygodsgracerealty.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for staying with us through break this morning. I have the honor to speak with Sherry Belafonte. She's famous because of who she is, but she's famous also because of her father, Harry Belafonte. And we're going to talk about looking good at any age. Sherry Belafonte, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you've been busy. Kind of catch us up, if you could, on what have you been doing?
What have I been doing? Let's see. Well, I've worked on a couple of movies. Eric Stoltz just directed a movie that I had a small part in. Right now it's called The Eric Stoltz Project. another movie that Kat Davison did called Primrose Lane. I play a psychic chiropractor. but other than that, those are my on-screen moments. But what I've been doing is working with Vivas to bring about a project that we're calling Inspired to Lose. And you can look online at inspiredlosing.com. I lost 20 pounds. Primarily because I was concerned about not just being 162 pounds, but my family has had diabetes and heart condition, and now that I'm pushing the big 6-0, I started thinking, I better start taking a little bit better care of myself, and I found a product that made me just feel so excited that I had contacted the company and said, how can I help you guys inspire more people? And they in turn came up with this project of finding other wonderful people who had lost weight and had been inspired to lose. And I got to show my expertise behind the camera, because a lot of people don't know that I actually shoot as well as being in front of the camera, just as much behind the camera. So we shot some photos in Newport Beach a few weeks back of all these wonderful people that had lost anywhere from 15 pounds to 115 pounds. And that's my latest project, Inspired Losing.
Now, when you say shoot, I think you're a photographer, correct?
Correct. Also videographer, but we're shooting photos with these people.
Yes. I think that's a great deal. I'm married to a professional photographer, so.
Oh, all right. Then you know all about it.
I know. It's great. The rest of us have to be on all the time. You guys will catch us. But I think it's a unique opportunity when you're a photographer, because for some reason you guys have different eyes. You see what other people do not see for some reason. So when you shot your weight loss participant, did you see the goodness in or the struggle in them to get there? You're 20 pounds. Let me tell you, 1 pound is hard to lose after 40.
No, I'm telling you, really. And the 20 pounds that I lost were just, first of all, it's interesting because my knees were, I used to be a jock when I was in school. I was on my fencing team. I used to play tennis. I was on the soccer team. I did all those things. But, as you start to get younger, older, it's not quite as easy to just drop those 5 pounds as it used to be, before. And I feel like I can enjoy my Aunt Martinis every once in a while, too.
I know. Everything is off limit.
Well, no, that's the whole point for this, was that it wasn't off limits. I actually did, the one thing that I did do, I cut a lot of gluten out of my menu. I didn't go completely gluten-free. I did cut back to hemp gluten, and oddly enough, being on the Qsymia, which is the product that I was taking, that I am taking now, I was able to still do all the things that I like doing and eat all the things that I like eating, but in much smaller portions.
Oh, that's great. That's really good, because it's hard. I don't like to say hard, but it's challenging just to make a turnaround and say, I'm not going to eat that anymore.
Right.
With that. That's a big challenge.
And at our age, or at least at my age, you don't want to have to give up all that stuff. But there is some reason behind at least cutting back on it. And like I said, for me, the big clear difference in my menu was gluten, was really cutting back a lot on the gluten, and it made my joints feel a lot better. I managed to lose 20 pounds over 9 weeks, so it was a nice 2 pounds a week. Actually, it was 18 pounds over 2 weeks, and then it was over a couple of more weeks that I lost the last 2 pounds. But it really, you know, was a nice slow method. It wasn't one of those quick, lose 15 pounds in 1 week.
Yeah, worry about where is it? Is it coming back?
Exactly, because it's always going to come back. But, you know, this way, and also, I personally maintain by, you know, staying on the medicine, but I take it like once a week or twice a week just to maintain. But, you know, everybody needs to work out with their doctor when they're, what's going on with them. You know, I think you shouldn't be afraid to go to your doctor, especially if you have a weight condition, and especially if diabetes and heart conditions and all these other factors, you know, factor into it. And I think a lot of people are afraid to approach their doctors about that. But the message from us is always, you know, you need to work with your doctor on this and, you know, talk to them about it, and also talk to them about this particular product if it could be something that's good for them.
Okay, tell me, where can they find out more information? Because I know people are going to be asking me when I finish speaking with you.
If you go to inspiredlosing.com, I-N-S-P-I-R-E-D, losing, losing.com, you'll see the little video that we did about the people that I was shooting. Vivus is the company, the drug company, which is V-I-V-U-S, but the one that I was on is Qsymia, which is Q-S-Y-M-I-A. You can even see Qsymia.com, and it'll have all the information about it.
That sounds good. As I wrap up, I would be remiss if I let you go and not ask you, how is your beautiful father?
He's doing really well. I just actually talked to him. He just came back from 3 weeks in Jamaica. He had left a message on my phone yesterday, and I went, where the heck have you been? I called him back today, actually. Well, it was yesterday now, the day before yesterday. But, you know, I called him, I said, where have you been? I left a couple of messages for you. He said I was in Jamaica, and I didn't have any phones, didn't have any, you know, any emails or tweeting or
anything. Oh, what a good
deal. There was nothing going on. I got really tan, and I slept and ate and sat in the pool for 3 weeks.
What a good feeling.
So he's doing great.
Well, Sherry Belfani, you've always been a happy, uplifting person, as I've seen, and you sound wonderful, and you look fabulous.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for talking about it and inspiring the rest of us, as we probably all know we need to lose a few pounds also.
Well, you know, spring is coming. Bathing suit weather is coming around, so.
Thank you, Sherry Belfani. We really appreciate it.
Thanks.
The best that life has to offer.
Take care.
Perfect time to take advantage of the Valder Beebe Show special with DFW's best carpet cleaners, Zero Res. Call today, ask for the Valder Beebe Show special offer, and you will get 3 carpeted rooms pre-treated, cleaned, and sanitized for only $79. Yes, $79. Be one of the next 30 callers, and you will get a $100 gift card to Fuller's Jewelry. Fuller's is the newest retailer in the Pandora Jewelry Collection, and you can use your gift card for anything in the Pandora Collection. Call 214-372-5326, 214-372-5326, or visit ZeroResDFW.com. Remember to tell Zero Res that you heard it on the Valder Beebe Show on KKVI FM radio to get the special. KKVI is your community radio station, bringing together the community, one community at a time. Thank you so much for staying with us through the break. Today I get to talk to Anthony Evans Jr. Now, Anthony Evans, you're probably going to think, oh, is Big Mega Preacher? Well, no, this is the Big Mega Preacher's son, Anthony Evans Jr. Thank you and welcome to the Valder Beebe Show.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, thank you for joining us. I understand that you have the musical talent in the family. Maybe not the only one, but you do have the musical talent in your family.
I guess so. I didn't really realize it until later in life, but I guess I've been tended that one in my family. Yeah.
Okay. We know you have a CD, but first I want to kind of talk about how you got to produce the CD. Okay, so you come from a very prestigious spiritual ministerial family. So did you spend your whole life getting to where you are? Did you do all the good things that preacher's kids did?
No. That the perception of me being Tony Evans Jr. and maybe this perfect little kid who grew up and did everything like that, that person is wrong. I actually had a lot. I never wanted to just hurt my family or my parents. I didn't have a lot of outward rebellion, but my heart was just angry half my life, really, honestly. Christianity, I had not understanding this whole, how is this something so good, but I just feel guilty and shameful all the time. And you know what I mean? That was my upbringing. I had to grow into my faith the same way I had to grow into my music. It was a gradual process, and me learning the intricacies of my faith, coming to a place where I was comfortable in my spiritual skin. And then the same thing with the music also.
Well, you sound like many of us. Most of us don't walk in the power of our faith until at a certain time, and then you start to grow, and then you start to invest in it and start to inquire about it. Okay, so you grew into your faith. You found your talent. You did not know you had this talent?
Well, I think growing up, there's a train going by my hotel. I think growing up, everybody around me was musical. You know, in church, it seemed like everybody could sing. You know what I mean? I just thought that was part of the deal. And then later on, my people started to encourage me and kind of say, yo, you need to really work on the craft. You could do something with that. And that's when I started to believe in myself, a little bit more. And so that was a little bit later in life. I was about 18 when it started to, when it really started to develop. And then, soon after that, I met Kirk Franklin, started going to a church, and I met him, and he said to me, when you are done with college, I want you to come sing with me. And I thought, no, you don't. You know what I mean? I was like, no, you don't. You're just saying that. But no, I literally finished what I was doing, and the next couple of months, he hired me to go out with him to promote the record that was at that point, which was the Rebirth of Kirk Franklin. And that's when I started to really dig into the music and learn, because I was with him for 4 years.
Isn't it? So you sang with God's Property?
No, it wasn't God's Property at that point, or it wasn't The Family or God's Property or 1NC. At that point, there was no name. It was just The Rebirth of Kirk Franklin, and there was no name for us. We were just the singers, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And wasn't that wonderful? And so you found out who you are, and now today or tomorrow, you're releasing your CD.
Yes, I am. I'm releasing. This is actually my seventh record. A lot of people don't know that I've put out that much music, but yes, this is my seventh record. I feel like it is the best effort that I've made so far. I'm thrilled about it. I'm thrilled about the people I have to collaborate with on the record, and I'm very excited about it. Very excited.
I asked you earlier, do you have a favorite track on the CD?
Yes, I do. Right now, the track has Never Failed, but I really go back and forth. It's a song that I got the opportunity to write with Martha Munizzi, who's obviously an amazing worship writer. We just sat down via Skype, and I just took a chance and texted her. We've done some events together, but we didn't know each other that well at that point. But sat down with her and wrote this song, and her daughter Danielle jumped in, and she's an amazing writer. And we just got the chance to just put down a song that I love, and it's going over really well live. And I enjoy the production of it too. It's kind of a throwback sound.
Okay, you said that. Okay, I can't believe that, because you're saying you're 30. I don't believe that. But anyway, I saw your picture. I know you're not looking 30. But anyway, do you play any instruments, or you only sing?
I play a little bit, but I don't play out in front of people, you know.
Okay, that's interesting. My daughter plays the violin, but she doesn't play for other people. I don't understand that. But,
right.
But anyway, where would you like to send us to sample the CD or get a copy of the CD? Where would you like to send us?
You can go to anthony-evans.com to get or sample the CD. Or tomorrow, April 8th, you can go out to iTunes and grab it, or wherever music is sold, and get it there.
And the title of it one more time?
Is Real Life, Real Worship.
I can't wait to get a copy of it so I can hear it, and I can hear your talent, has how it's matured into what it is. I want to thank Anthony Evans Jr. for being my guest today and talking about the premiere of your CD. This is a really big deal for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Be blessed in all that God has to offer. I hope you get to reap it.
Thanks.
The Valder Beebe Show, a new kind of talk show. Hi, I'm Valder Beebe. I don't talk about the celebrities. I interview the stars. View my interviews right here on HipHopNationalRadio.com. Visit ValderBeebeShow.com for our complete broadcast schedule.
The Valder Beebe Show, a new kind of 21st century talk show reaching across the globe. We are living in incredible times, and the Valder Beebe Show believes in the power of you. Join us for our daily broadcast of That Celebrity Interview and our Saturday and Sunday podcast of The Valder Beebe Show. As we take the journey of success, we inspire and celebrate the power of you. Go to ValderBeebeShow.com and change your life.
I get a chance to talk about one of my favorite heroes, Noah, but I'm going to talk with Joel McDermott. He has a PhD in theology from Torrey University, and he's the director of research for the American Vision. So he's going to give us his take on the movie Noah. Joel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You know, everybody thinks they know Noah's story. They may not know Jesus' story, but they know a Noah story.
Well, most of us have learned it in Sunday schools, and we learned it on flannel graphs with cute little colorful pictures of animals. And it doesn't necessarily come across as the horrific universal judgment that it was.
And also, too, people that do not believe in Jesus, they learn it through other theories, and nor is, from what I read, that theory is always used as a part of non-belief, so it makes it a very important story.
Absolutely, and of course there are flood myths and stories all over ancient civilizations, and modern scholars point that out to show that the Bible's not unique, but there are answers for these things. More importantly is that the kind of social ignorance that you're talking about, this just lack of understanding in general, and lack of actually reading the true story in general, opens the general public to being bombarded with movies like this and adopting all kinds of false ideas, false pretenses. And this movie in particular carries some rather startling ones that are very subtle, that unless you're trained in some theological disciplines, you may not catch. And one of them shows that the movie, it's not just, it's been blasted by a lot of Christian filmmakers for being just poor movie and, you know, putting some wild ideas in there like rock creatures. But the most startling aspect is the fact that it really portrays what we would call Satanism. In other words, the serpent is the key symbol of enlightenment all the way through the movie. And even in the end, when the movie is fully resolved and Noah begins to begin again with his family in this new creation, it is the symbol of the serpent from the garden, his shed skin that is a talisman all the way through the movie, that is the symbol of enlightenment and hope for the future. And if you just watch that, you may not pick it up. You may think it's weird, you may think it's strange, but unless you understand the doctrines of Satanism historically through Gnosticism and through the Jewish mysticism called Kabbalah, you would not realize just how startling that really is and how subversive it really is of the true story of Noah. And it's problems like is this in the movie that I wrote my book in advance to begin with, Noah, the True Story, and that's available at my website, AmericanVision.org. And I wanted to tell the biblical story as realistically as possible in just a brief 50 or 60 pages for average people to read and really understand the true story that the Bible is trying to tell.
You think you're going to be able to do that? The reason why I say that is because I know people from many different countries, and they always tell me, and it doesn't matter what country, they say, oh, America is such a great place. You have houses dedicated just for books. We think it's so great, and they go to the library, and they read, and they become smarter than most people that have lived here most of their lives. And when I go to the library, I don't see a lot of Americans, so you got to read the story in order to get the story, right?
Well, there's no doubt. That's why we have radio shows like this, to encourage people to go pick up and read. So, you know, we have to get the word out. There's no doubt about that. And honestly, there have been several Christian leaders in different areas who are at least criticizing the movie, saying this does not represent biblical truth. But you're right, we have a deficit in America. I mean, I've criticized that as well, particularly in education and in other areas. These are all real problems that we have to deal with, and it has to begin in pulpits and on Christian media outlets like this, because it's not going to begin anywhere else.
Well, you're going to have to come back, because you've got like 5 subjects we could talk about. Just roll into one, you know, low church attendance, people going to church and not studying, no more Wednesday night Bible study. We can talk about all of those, because they do lead to what you're actually talking about, because I believe in what you said. I haven't seen Noah. I don't have a schedule to see it until tomorrow, but I know when you don't know the truth, whether it's biblical or factual or scientific, and people present you their truth, people take it on as the truth.
Yes, that's absolutely right. The danger, that's the way the serpent always works. The Bible tells us that the devil comes disguised as an angel of light. And we have to be aware, if we're not equipped to deal with that and to spot it up front, well, we'll be sucked in like everyone else.
Okay, so in Noah there was a lot of, I heard that mostly people, well not mostly, many people talked about climate change. I kid you not, they talked about the climate change. This is why the flood happened and there was climate change then and we're having climate change now. But I like what your pitch said. It said find out how to weather the storms of life. That was kind of like your pitch. And I thought that was better.
Yeah, and that's I think that's a story lost on a lot of Christians too. We tend to look at Noah and a lot of people use it only to speak of end times and kind of apocalyptic scenarios for us today, but we forget that Noah landed on the earth and on the land and planted a farm, planted a vineyard, planted a, made wine. This is a long-term outlook on life. In other words, if you get into the theological symbolism of what happened with the dove and the floods and all that, it's recapitulating what happened in the original creation. In short, Noah is starting a new creation. So the story is not about the destruction so much as it is about the rebirth and the starting over of a whole new civilization with an outlook of thousands of years ahead of it. And I see the same thing in the New Testament. A lot of people dwell too much on God's judgment and so-called end times. But I see that Noah story replayed again in Jesus' baptism. He goes down into the water, he comes up again, and here again is that dove hovering over the waters. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus is the new creation. And where we see Paul saying the same thing later, you know, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. See, the New Testament is telling the story of creation, of Noah, of Jesus, all over again, and the outlook is future, it is positive. Now, does that mean there will be no storms? Of course not. God uses the storms in life to separate the wicked from the evil, or I'm sorry, the wicked from the good, and promises the future for the good. The meek shall inherit the earth. So, I think sometimes we dwell too much on the judgment side of it, and not on the founding of godly civilization side of things.
Oh, well, I know why we dwell on the judgment side, because people don't understand that they have been saved, that they have been redeemed, and the price has been paid, so they're guilty. And, well, and I don't like to talk about people, but being on that side at one time, not understanding the full price that my salvation had already been paid for, and so I didn't have to continually feel guilty and feel bad and do that. I just had to know that my salvation was already there, and I had to just try to live on that path. But most people are guilty because we know that we're sinners. We know that what we're doing is wrong. We know we have this innate thing that God left us with. So that's why we look at the bad and not the good.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, I wouldn't say most people are guilty. I would say all people are guilty.
I want to say that one.
But the other side to that is when we accept that salvation that's given to us, a lot of people kind of stop there. Okay, I'm saved. Now my duty is to go to church and sing songs. And it's so much more than that. The Bible addresses every area of life. There is no part of this creation that God's word and God's promises do not intend to redeem and restore. And that applies to human souls. It applies to human families. It applies to human economics and government and politics. It applies to law. It applies to education. It applies to methods of human welfare and, you know, taking care of your families and stuff of that nature. There is no area of life it doesn't touch. And I think churches do themselves a disservice, do the body of Christ a disservice when we should be teaching them these things. We're kind of stuck in, you know, confess your sins and have your soul saved. And we don't go on to the rest of that. You know, Christ gave the Great Commission. He didn't say, go into the world and save a few souls out of it. He said, go disciple the nations, teaching them everything that I have taught you. You know, teaching them everything that I have commanded you. So it's a comprehensive view that we're supposed to have in the Great Commission. And we so often fall so short of it.
In your book, tell me, what is one thing you would love for people to take away from it?
The concept of hope, you know, and that is kind of what I've been talking about here so far. I talk about a lot of things in the book, the concept of two seeds in the Bible, the seed of, of the Redeemer in the seat of the serpent. The mirror of their time to ours. There was this huge technological boom in Noah's time that's spoken of in the Bible in Genesis chapter 4. Hardly anybody ever talks about that. What the Bible means when it talks about violence, it's not just open rape and robbery. It's also the more subtle forms of violence. There's so much in here to talk about, but that final concept of hope is where we are to look. It is that new creation, like I've been talking about, that new building of a godly civilization, that new long-term outlook on life that is blessed by the finished work of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If people would latch onto that and begin to look to the Bible for those answers and for their hope, I think there's a whole new outlook on life that many people, and in fact, I would say a majority of Christians, need to adopt. And so that's what I'm trying to introduce people here to.
I'd like to ask you one final question. Can you tell me how faithfulness of Noah, was faithful in his instructions of doing what God commanded him to do? How can it empower individuals to overcome all of life challenges that they face in the 21st century?
Absolutely. That's an excellent question. And it really gets down to things. And it's this, you know, if you put yourself in the shoes of just about any of the biblical heroes, whether it's David under the reign of Saul or Noah in this time of when he's trying to build the ark, which the Bible gives a 100-year span for doing, in the midst of a society that's filled with corruption and violence, you know the guy was made fun of. You know that he was probably picked on and tried to shut down in every way possible. And yet for 100 years, the guy continued building steadily, log upon log, you know, piece upon piece, plan upon plan. And it's that consistent faithfulness, despite whatever the world says, despite whatever blessings and technology and greatness and national greatness and glory that they seem to have out there that you don't, and they're ridiculing you from that position of power, and you feel hopeless, you despair, at least that's the temptation, and yet you remain faithful to God's word, continuing to do what he tells you to do. It's that type of faithfulness that I'm talking about. It takes courage. It takes just steadfastness in the word of God, and it takes consistency over a long period of time in that courage. That's what I'm talking about in that regard in the book. And we have to have that today in order to get through the same trials, not the same trials, but similar trials that we have today. We have corruption and violence throughout the system. We have people ridiculing us who want to follow God's word. And a list of things we could go through. So there's a perfect mirror there in many ways between Noah's position and ours as Christians today trying to remain faithful to God.
Well, Joel McGurran, you have been a light. You have been speaking to my heart. That's why I get to do the Balder Beebe Show. And I hope you spoke to my audience. I hope there's something for someone here because you spoke many truths. But people have to find their own truth. You have to study the word. You have to get to know God. You have to be friends with God. That has been my understanding because I want to be able to say, God, Jesus, it's me. And I don't want to be saying like, who is that? Because I've already talked to them. Joel, I want to thank you so much for coming on the Balder Beebe Show. It's really been a pleasure. Please come back. I would love to discuss the things that you know.
Sure, thank you. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Are you considering buying a new home or buying the right size home now that the kids are grown up and no longer living at home? With over 20 years of experience in the DFW Metroplex, By God's Grace Realty would be honored to be a part of your new home team. Hi, I'm Balder Beebe, and my husband James and I purchased our dream home through By God's Grace Realty. Our kids are adults, and we have the perfect size house for our new lifestyle. It was easy. And By God's Grace Realty was there every step of the way. Whether buying or selling, the Jackson team is ready to go to work for you. For a free consultation, call Pat, 972-739-5244, 972-739-5244, or visit bygodsgracerealty.com.
Joining us here today live in Dallas, Texas, on the Balder Beebe Show.
Well, thank you
for having me.
Well, you're going to talk with us today. I'd like to let my listening audience know you're going to talk today with us about winning the bronze medal and the Olympics and a few other things because they call you a game changer.
So I apologize.
Okay, sounds good. Amy, you're very young and you're on Dancing with the Stars, right?
I am. I don't know about the young part. I'm not as young as I used to be. But, yeah, I am. I'm on Dancing with the Stars, and I'm absolutely having the time of my life on it.
It is. Is it as hard as people? Everybody goes on there and says, no one has says, oh, it was a piece of cake. Everyone says it's very hard.
It is really hard. It's physically and mentally and emotionally demanding. It's learning so much technique and memorizing routines in a very small amount of time and then going out and performing them the best that you can. And so it's pretty grueling as far as the amount of energy that goes into it. But I love dancing. I love music. And so far, I've honestly just had so much fun with it. And I'm doing my best to keep it that way. You know, I came in having fun with it, and I want to continue that throughout the entire show.
Okay, you say you love dancing, you love music. All of us think we probably can sing at home and dance at home. But when you get on the when you got on Dancing with the Stars, did that kind of go out the window?
I know. I mean, kind of. It's funny because, well, I definitely knew that I had rhythm. I mean, I love going out and dancing with my friends. So, you know, I knew that I could, like, stay with rhythm, and I had these kind of dance moves that I could do. But ballroom dancing is completely different. I mean, it's just funny. Derek is actually always making fun of me because when I just go into, like, how I would naturally dance, it's so not correct for ballroom dancing. So he's constantly having to correct me with, like, putting my shoulders down and standing like a woman versus standing like, you know, I don't know, something that's frumpy. So, He's always kind of on top of me with that. And that's actually the most challenging part for me. A lot of people would think that it would be my legs because I have two prosthetic legs. And yes, that is a challenge that we're constantly working with in practice. But I find that the most challenging part is all of the foundation of dancing that I don't have because, you know, I wasn't raised dancing. I didn't dance when I was young. So it's these rules that you have to follow, and you're thinking of the move and you're forgetting how your form is supposed to be at the same time. And then, you know, you have to stop and do it again and stop and do it again. And so it's a challenge, but it's a lot of fun.
Okay. So it is a challenge, but you know, they gave you the best partner on the show, Derek Hough.
Right. I am so blessed and honestly, not just because he's the best, but we think alike and we work together so well and we have great chemistry and we've really bonded through everything. And he actually came to Russia to work with me while I was competing in the Paralympic Games. So that, you know, we could get this first dance down. And I think because of that, we've really created this bond. And so it makes this whole experience really special, just having someone so close to you that you're going, you know, we're going through this together. And it's really cool and it's really special.
Okay. Now, you have prosthetic legs. But you're also an Olympic winner in the Paralympics, right?
Right. Yep. So I have two prosthetic legs from bacterial meningitis when I was 19. I contracted that and pretty much overnight was in the hospital on life support. I was given less than a 2% chance of living and my body went into septic shock and I ended up losing circulation to my legs and had to have them amputated. And but you know, I left the hospital honestly focusing on what my abilities are and what my passions are and what I wanted to do with my life versus focusing on what I lost or what my so-called disability is. And through that, I was able to get back into snowboarding, which I love and loved at that time. And I started a nonprofit organization called Adaptive Action Sports to help other people with disabilities get into action sports like snowboarding and skateboarding. And through that organization, we actually helped to get snowboarding into the 2014 Paralympic Games, where I competed all last year for the national team, and then I made the Paralympic team, and then just competed 2 weeks ago in Sochi and was able to bring a bronze medal home.
Well, congratulations. You are a miracle. You truly are. Amy Purdy, thank you so very much.
Looking for a job? Well, all for free, you can mix and mingle with DFW executives, entrepreneurs, and businesses, all for free, at the Metro City Billboard's product launch and job fair. When? On Wednesday, January the 29th. What time? From 4 to 6 p.m. Location? Southwest Center Mall, 3662 West Camp Wisdom Road in Dallas. Metro City Billboards is launching a new grassroots job initiative by digital billboards across the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Metro City Billboards will explain the launch of a new billboard network and billboard TV. Just show up January the 29th at the Southwest Center Mall. You can email info@businessintheblack.com. That's info@businessintheblack.com.
Thank you. I'd like to let my listening audience know Neha Parikh is Vice President and General Manager of Hotels.com. Neha, it's springtime. What are people doing as far as traveling?
So in terms of travel for the spring, there's some really, really great options. One of the places that I think is a great place to go right now is Fort Lauderdale. We saw prices at an average of $140 in Fort Lauderdale last year, but you can get rates for below $130 for a 3-star boutique hotel right now.
That's pretty good.
Because I know we're in Texas, one of the things that I'm excited about is that 4 Texas cities hit the top 20 cities of that Americans visited in 2013, according to our hotel price index survey last year, with Dallas at number 15.
Oh, that's cool. And what are the other 3 cities?
So the others are Houston at number 9, which is where I'm from, San Antonio, Texas at number 10, and Austin at number 16.
Okay, well, we always end up in the top. That's Texas. From your survey, you found the 50 most visited cities and the best values there and abroad. How can the listening audience find out, you know, they may want to choose a distant destination like Dallas or something like that? Is there a place on the web where they can go and see the survey or the 50 most visited cities?
If people want to see the hotel price index, they can visit www.hotels.com and visit our press where they can find the hotel price index. And they can also find some amazing deals on hotels.
Where did you find the best values in the domestic market for travelers in 2013?
So domestically, we saw the number one most popular city for Americans was Las Vegas. And it's also such a great value at an average price of about $110. And you can, you know, stay at 4- and 5-star hotels extremely less than in other places. For example, New York City, which is $267 on average. Vegas was definitely one popular and affordable destination. Another was Orlando. Orlando was our top 3 most popular destination and only one of 7 destinations that was under $100 on average, which is pretty incredible.
That is pretty incredible. And your most popular cities for foreign travelers?
Ooh, foreign travel. That's one of my favorites. So the number one most popular city for foreign travel is London, followed by Paris. And then interestingly, Toronto overtook Rome as the 3rd most popular city for Americans to visit when traveling abroad.
And can you tell me your best values where they spent maybe like $135 or less? And I know you did mention a couple of them. What were some
of
those values?
We saw prices for less than $135 for 4-star hotels in amazing European cities like Vienna, Prague, and Budapest, which, by the way, are 3 great places to visit all in one trip because they're pretty close to each other. But we also saw 5-star hotels for under $200 in places like Lisbon, and again, Budapest, which is definitely an affordable and an amazing place to visit.
Where can you find the best taxis in the world?
Best taxis in the world in London. And actually, I just moved back to Dallas from living in London for 2 years, so I can confirm that they are amazing. Extensive tests before they can become taxi drivers in London and basically memorize every single street, which is pretty crazy.
Send this to the web again, because that's where a lot of my listening audience will go. Where do you want them to go?
Perfect. I want them to go to www.hotels.com.
Nahi, I thank you so very much for talking about hotels.com and those places that we can travel. It's spring, and I think a lot of people are going to travel.
Did you know 26 million Americans have kidney disease and most don't know it?
The day I was diagnosed, I didn't know what to do. I called the National Kidney Foundation, and the young lady who answered stayed on the phone with me and walked me through step by step. She, too, was surviving kidney disease. And she showed me there could be life after kidney disease.
Visit the National Kidney Foundation at kidney.org. Now you know.
I've got a great guest for you today. I've got Nathalia Hope. She's an award-winning research scientist. She's the author of The Cure, How Berlin Patients Defeated HIV and Forever Changed Medical Science. Nathalia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Well, this is really why I wrote this book, because we now have these cases where people have been functionally cured of HIV, but so many people still haven't heard of them. And so I write about their personal stories in the book. They're two men that have both been off therapy and have been able to control the virus now for 18 and 7 years respectively. And their stories are important not just because of their extraordinary experiences, but also because of how they're influencing research today. And we now have clinical trials that are based on their experience that are bringing cure research to more people that are living with HIV.
And I need to mention that Nathalia Holt is a PhD and an award-winning research scientist. You've done work at MIT and Harvard.
Many research studies that have looked at these patients, they received two very unusual treatments. One received a stem cell transplant from a person who is naturally resistant to HIV. And because of the stem cell transplant, all of the cells in this patient's body became resistant to HIV. This person, this patient's name is Timothy Brown, he's now been off therapy since 2007. And in the other patient, in the first Berlin patient, this is a man who received a very early therapy for HIV. And because of this early therapy, he's now been off drugs since 1996. And so both of these cases are important because they're influencing other cases of functional cure. So it's not even these two patients that are cured of HIV. We now even have a child in Mississippi who's been functionally cured and a group of men in France and hopefully many more to come. There are clinical trials that are open to people with HIV. I think it's important to note that for many of these trials, we're still looking at, you know, there's questions that will come up with the toxicity. We have to make sure that these therapies are completely safe before they can be given to people. It's amazing how many people in this country have HIV and actually don't know it. It's estimated that about 1 in 5 people who are HIV positive don't know their HIV status and don't even realize it. So it's important. I'm glad you're talking about these home tests because it's such a great resource now that people can just go to the drugstore and get tested that way.
Where can we send them to find more information about the trials?
My website is nathaliaholt.com, NathaliaHolt.
The Valder Beebe Show, a new kind of talk show for the 21st century, spanning the globe. Visit ValderBeebeShow.com and change your life.
I've got this thing I still hold on to. Wear it like a coat in the hot summer sun. It's lined with regret.
We thank you for listening to The Valder Beebe Show. Keep sending us your emails because we love to hear about celebrity guests who have inspired you and the life-changing topics that aid you in seeing life differently. View our full broadcast schedule on ValderBeebeShow.com.
The views and opinions expressed on The Valder Beebe Show by the guests and callers are not necessarily those of The Valder Beebe Show, this station, its management, or advertisers. The Valder Beebe Show is for entertainment and enjoyment. It is not intended to give advice, treat, diagnose...